Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done.
And welcome to the podcast. My name is Brian David Thompson, and I'm here in the studio with C.K. Thompson, of course.
Hello.
And then also, we've got here today a special guest, and that is Mike Thompson, who's a pastor and a prophet. Also happens to be my father, and has been in the ministry since 1977, and he's got some really good stuff to share today. So we're going to get to that, definitely. But first off, I'm just going to go ahead and pass it off to C.K., because I know you have some opening thoughts. So what do you got?
Hey, Brian. Hi, I was just thinking about love. Did you know that fear is contagious?
Okay, yeah.
Perfect love casts out fear. And fear itself is a force that is contagious. That is the force that terrorists and so forth are counting on people passing on to one another. It was just a thought that went through my little gourd today, so I thought I'd pass it along.
Makes sense if you describe it that way.
Yes. Yeah. When you hear people spewing words of fear and doubt and unbelief, it's like they're sneezing on you if they had a cold or something.
Yeah.
You need to cover your ears just the same as you would, like, cover your mouth and nose if someone sneezed at you if they had a cold or the flu or something. Because it's contagious. Don't let it in. Don't let that infect you. Okay. I just thought, no, I don't mean you personally. I mean, in general.
Right.
And isn't that an interesting thought?
Yeah, actually it is.
So I want to welcome all of our listeners. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for listening to Prophets Don't Wear Plaid. I really appreciate all the support. I appreciate very much the Streams of Many Waters podcast network and the people there. Wonderful, awesome people, loving people, authentic people. I really appreciate them. And I would encourage everybody listening to check out the other podcasters and give them a shot. Listen. And also, would you subscribe, if you haven't already, subscribe to Prophets Don't Wear Plaid.
Definitely.
And download. Here's the deal about a podcast. You don't have to sit at your computer and listen. Some people, we're still helping in, what do you call, instruct people, educate
people
about podcasts. And podcasts are supposed to be downloaded, if possible, if you have a smartphone. We're on iTunes, so if you have Apple products, you can just download that right into your device, and then when you have internet. And then when you leave there, you've got it with you, and then you can just listen to it in the car or wherever you are.
Right. It's just on standby for whenever it's useful to you.
Exactly.
And convenient, I should say.
Yeah. Just listen. It's convenient and a blessing. So, I really pray that these podcasts are a blessing to you. And a quick note, because I'm really excited. I want to get to what Mike, my husband, Mike. Hi, Mike. He doesn't have a microphone yet, but he will. Some of the things he's going to share today about angels, specifically his interaction with the Archangel Michael. He's had so many third heaven encounters, but I think people would really like to hear. You kind of give us bits and pieces here and there, just enough to make us interested and curious about, we want to know more about Michael the Archangel. But before we get to that, I just wanted to share quickly. Here's a word. Don't delay your destiny by not walking in love. People need to remember that. And I know that right now, during this is being, we are recording live via podcast. Mm-hmm. It's the holiday season in 2015. And, oh, baby, it's cold outside, too. For Las Vegas, it's been pretty cold. But fear that is contagious happens when we don't walk in love, because perfect love casts out fear. So many people don't realize how much God loves them. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening to me right now and you are struggling with whether or not God loves you, or whether you feel blessable, or whether, you know, does God even see you? Does he notice you? Does he hear your prayers? That kind of thing. There's so many people that struggle with that. And for some reason, the holidays causes that to rise to the top a lot in people's hearts. There's many, many opportunities to not walk in love during the holidays. There's many opportunities. This is a good time to practice walking in love. And I'm talking about authentic love, not fake Christian, phony, hypocritical, fault-finding, fleshly, manipulative, controlling, religious love. Did I get enough words in there? Did I kind of let you know how I feel about it?
A little bit.
You want to know how I really feel? Mm-hmm. In fact, that was one of those things that you can go back and listen to some of the other podcasts where I've shared about a dream that I had in 2002 when the Lord started showing me, when I saw Ezekiel's wheel and the whole issue of God is love and everything within that's closer to the hub, everything around the throne of God involves light, love, and life. And John was the apostle who had the revelation of light, love, and life. And he lived off of that revelation. It caused him to live longer than any other of the apostles. In fact, the power of love is such that it can protect you from, I mean, they historically, it's known that they actually tried to boil him in oil. They tried to boil the man in oil.
Unsuccessfully.
It's like the three Hebrew children in
the fiery furnace.
Yes, yeah. They came out, it just couldn't, the fire could not ignite on them. And that's how it was when he was boiled in oil. Can you imagine? The Lord delivered him out of it. He had a revelation of love. They couldn't kill him, so they had to finally banish him to the Isle of Patmos, where he ended up writing the book of Revelations. He had encounters. Talk about third heaven encounters. And that was one powerful life that he lived based on a revelation. And the Lord had shared with me in this dream, and I won't go through the whole thing, but he was saying, fear is the fear. It is the force that hell runs on. That is grace. Love and grace is the system of heaven.
Sure.
And fear is literally the system of hell.
That makes sense.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it kind of helps you be able to pin down certain things in life in this world, where they come from, such as terrorism.
Right, the obvious one.
Yeah,
right?
Straight from hell.
Yeah.
Men's hearts have been failing them for fear. I mean, because of these things. They see the things that they see coming. They're looking with their eyes and seeing things coming. And if they haven't gotten a revelation of God's love, not only that God is love, he's a loving God, God is good, the devil's bad, you know, the basics. But that when we develop that perfect love in our lives, and you can do that, it will cast out and drive out the fear out of our own lives. Fear is the force that makes people old. Fear is the force that makes people sick.
Wow.
These are all based on, because it's the things that came straight from hell. Perfect love casts it out. The Lord always has said to me, and you've heard me say this, he has to say things to me in ways that I can remember, because I have so much of this stuff. Sometimes I could be all over the map, and so I try not to be. He says, if in doubt, go to the John. That always makes me laugh.
As in the gospel.
The gospel, anything written by the Apostle John, the Gospel of John, and the three epistles. of John. And no, an epistle is not an apostle's wife.
I hadn't heard that one before.
You hadn't heard that?
No. I've had the, quote, pleasure.
The pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know what an epistle means. Epistle is a letter. It's so the small Johns, if I get talking too much, you know what? I've been getting drunk in the spirit a lot recently, and I can feel it starting to happen. So I'm going to have to move on so that we can.
Okay.
Because, oh, boy. Actually, I love it. I have to have the glory. You know, we had a service recently where I got so drunk in the spirit, and it really surprised me because I really, first of all, needed it, but mm-hmm. I hadn't been that drunk in the spirit for so long that it took me by surprise. And naturally, I was up there trying to share a word. I was trying to share a dream.
Yeah.
And all I could do was just stand there and laugh and laugh. And the more I tried to get it under control, the Holy Spirit just took over. And mm-hmm. people actually, there were like three people that actually got up and walked out.
Okay.
And like, really? You don't like the glory?
Yeah.
You know, I used to be a skeptic until it happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, I can't live without it. I got to have the glory of God in my life. I can't live this life on this planet without the glory. That's God's manifested presence. And yeah. It doesn't always make you laugh, but in some cases it does. And sometimes it's what you need the most. I laughed and laughed. I couldn't get it together. Everything I tried to say just turned into a bad joke. It was just,
mm-hmm.
huh. And I couldn't believe people would actually walk out on that.
Mm-hmm.
That shows me, that speaks volumes to me. When someone walks out because I got drunk in the spirit and I was laughing,
mm-hmm.
that tells me pretty much all I need to know about that person for now anyway. God help them. Because if you don't like that, then maybe you better not hang around. Or you might find yourself, you know, sliding into the river. If you hang around the riverbank too much, you're going to slide in and find yourself on the floor laughing too.
Yeah, well, I remember, laughter being, what was it, a sign of a victory.
Yes.
Wasn't that what Kathy Walters would say? I still remember
yes.
that, but yeah.
The Lord laughs in derision over his enemies.
There's a lot of... different reasons, you know,
yes.
and then of course, and circumstances, but I mean, that just came to mind.
Yes. Laughter. Laughter is a powerful force. It's also very healing. I mean, people, I went through a decade of grief. I mean, I had like 5-6 family members just died. It depends on how many you want to count. If you're counting my uncles and everybody, I mean, literally, probably about 8. My stepdad, my dad, my brother in a car accident, and my mom, aunt, uncles. I mean, people are just dropping like flies. And it was a really tough decade. But the Lord healed me, and I'm still being healed. I have to admit, I cry a lot, too. Sometimes I cry and laugh at the same time when I'm under the glory. It's I don't know how he does that. He heals hearts. In that atmosphere. And that's part of the perfect love. And there are people that are afraid of that. Oh man, don't be afraid of God. Mm-hmm. I think they're kind of afraid of intimacy or afraid of God getting too close to something in their heart that they just don't want to deal with. Something too painful, maybe. And the only way you can get healed of it is to let God have access to it. And so I really wanted to encourage. That's where I was going with that. Is I want to encourage people. In the epistles, I believe it's First John 4:16. Someone can find and correct me if that's wrong. Not this minute. It says, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Everybody knows God loves the world. He loves all the little children of the world, all that kind of stuff. But this is a very personal thing. To know and believe the love that God has for you.
Mm-hmm.
Got to believe it. That's the hard part. A lot of people don't believe it. They believe it for everyone else, but it's hard to believe for themselves. And they don't always believe it for everyone else either, do they?
Yeah, it depends on who you're talking about.
Really, God is love. So know and believe that love. Know and believe the love that God has for you right now. Wherever you're at, He loves you. Whatever you're doing, He loves you. if you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing, he loves you, but you know, stop it.
Yeah.
He loves you when you're sinning. He loves when you're awake. Okay, wait a minute. That's a Christmas song. He loves you when you're sinning, so stop it. Because how about loving him back enough to stop it?
Yeah.
It's not just an excuse to go out and sin.
Right.
Fear is the force that makes people sick, and it shortens their life. Love, which is the absence of fear, the presence of God, lengthens your life. The world's system is based on fear. God's system is based on love, love, light, and life. Fake Christian love. And that was one thing, and then I want to get right into this with Mike here.
Okay.
First of all, we are compelled by compassion, not competition. Compassion, the love of God compels us, not competition. We're not in competition with anybody, any ministry, anyone out there. We love you. I want you all to succeed. If you're preaching Jesus and you're having an impact, you're bringing people into the kingdom of God, Jesus is being lifted up and people are finding the Lord through your life and your ministry, I pray that you are so successful that you bring as many people into the kingdom of God with you as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I love you. God loves you. You need to succeed. I'm praying for your success. The one thing I wanted people to know is that a lot of times during the holidays, people talk about love, 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 and people get really tired of hearing the word love because that means different things to different people. In this dream in the year 2002, the Lord told me that the key to, because he'd been talking to me about supernatural finances and then supernatural youth, they are anointings. I mean, I'll share them another time, but this is what he told me. The key to walking in these anointings, and really any anointing, the key to walking in the kingdom is walking in love. And he said, that's where my people stumble. They want these things, but they don't want to pay the price of walking in love. And then he specified, now this was the Lord talking, and I wrote it down the best I could. He said, I don't mean that fake Christian love, and I've got air quotes going on, fake Christian love is religious, and it's based on the flesh. It's dishonest. It's phony. It's self-protection. It allows for sickness. It allows for death. It is superficial. It is sappy. He called it sappy. It's superficial and it is manipulative. People use, walk in love as a way to try to control other people because it tries to keep people from being honest. It doesn't like honesty. God's love can handle honesty. It rejoices when right and truth prevail.
Yeah.
And true love, God's love, is spirit-based. It changes the flesh. It runs deep. All religions, just about all religions, depends on what fanatical, like mm-hmm. Islam, the fanatic. What's the word? Radical.
Yeah.
There are radical whatevers in every group.
Yeah.
But all religions, this is what he told me, all religions preach the superficial. Counterfeit love is based on fear. And that which people have seen in many churches that has driven people away from God is that counterfeit love in the name of the Lord.
Wow.
Counterfeit love.
Yeah.
And it breaks his heart. It misrepresents him. He delights in the truth. He delights in blessing and healing people's hearts. That's impossible when people in the name of love say we don't talk about what's going on in our hearts. They're not honest. And they don't want to hear about your heart. That's really kind of cruel. It's actually very cruel to people to offer love, God's love, and then shut them down if they try to share their heart with you.
Mm-hmm.
God is all about the heart. Everything starts in the heart. And so if someone listening to my voice right now has been abused by this kind of fake, phony Christian, again, air quotes, religious love. If you've been abused by that and people just think they have the right, that they're entitled to just rip up on you in the name of God and call it love. And then if you try to stand up and just say, you know, wait a minute, that's not right. And they've got this twisted doctrine where they say, well, you took offense, so therefore it's your fault. I mean, they've got some really twisted, weird, dysfunctional doctrines out there that's heartbreakers. And I even came up against some of them this week. And I just finally had to let it go. Just tell them I love them and walk off, because I'm not going to stay and subject my heart to that kind of cruelty. And God bless them from a distance. I'll pray for them from a distance. But now I know their hearts and I know how they feel about me and how dishonest they are. And that's between them and God. And yes, I forgive them for anybody who's worried about that. Mm-hmm. Oh, my word.
Well, I feel better.
Did you feel better?
Yeah, now let's move on.
Okay. Oh, but see, that's what they told me to do. Just move on. Mm. Give it to God and move on.
Mm-hmm.
What a bunch of BS in the name of the Lord. Oh, not you, Ryan.
No? Really?
People get mean sometimes. In the name of the Lord, they think they can just treat people's hearts like they don't matter. So don't let counterfeit love drive you away from God. The Lord said to me, no fear, again, air quotes, no fear is the answer to the heart cry of this generation. No fear. And with that, I'm going to welcome Mike.
Okay.
People call him Pastor Mike because he was
set up the mic here.
You gonna hand him a mic? Hand the mic to Mike. Thank you. Hi, Mike.
Well, hello, gorgeous.
Well, hi, handsome. That's my sweetheart.
Yes.
Aww. Do you realize that on Christmas Day, it's going to be exactly... Oh, well,
maybe we better not tell the number
tell
of years,
the number of
but
years.
It is an anniversary of our very first date.
Yes. Let's just say it was over 40 years ago. Our very first date was on Christmas Day.
Yes, it was.
Because there was nothing going on.
Mm-hmm. Best present I ever had.
Hey! I didn't know God was giving me a Christmas present that was going to last for, wow, the rest of my life. Best present I ever had.
There you go.
Boy, and you were just like an octopus out there and we're sitting in... Okay, well, that's back in the day. I've told so many stories on you.
I'm sure you have.
Any girls that... I don't know, do they even say that now? Any of the women that are boomers that heard what I just said, they know exactly what I'm talking about. They take you up to show you the city. They drive you up to a really pretty... place to view, where you can have a view of the city or the town, in our case. And next thing you know, they're all arms and hands. Okay. Help me out.
You're
of this
embarrassing
hole.
Yourself.
I certainly am. Okay.
I'm just going to let you squirm.
Oh, no. I'm done. All done embarrassing myself. Okay.
Hey, let's talk about Michael.
Which one? I have a son named Michael. Do
That's
you?
That's right.
Yeah. It's your son. You better say yes.
Yes, I have a son, Michael.
I only have two sons that I know of. Okay.
Good joke.
It's natural sons. We have lots of spiritual sons.
Yes, we do.
Female ones too. Okay, are you checking the levels, Brian, so we can hear this man speak? I have a lot of respect for my husband. I love to hear you talk, and so it means I'm going to shut up now and let you talk. You have had third heaven encounters for years. I've listened to you tell me about them, and most people don't have any idea how many.
Mm-hmm.
You don't share very many of them publicly, believe it or not. People have heard you talk about them. But for the most part, you know, we really got to write some of them down because Or some of them are maybe too personal. I don't know. But you've had a lot of encounters for like as long as we've been in the, as long as we've been saved, before
That's
we
right.
went to ministry.
Uh-huh.
But in the last few years, you started having third heaven encounters that involve, it was different. We went into a new season. And you started, it started, the Lord introduced you to the Archangel Michael, as in Michael from the book of Daniel. Is that correct?
Yes. And Revelation.
He's in Revelation as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, right. Oh, yeah. We should ask John the Revelator about that. Tell us about some of these encounters. And I think that our listeners will find this highly interesting.
I would love to. The first time that I had an experience with Michael, the archangel, the war angel,
mm-hmm.
it really surprised me. Well, you know what? Every third heaven encounter always surprised me. You don't really see it coming. You don't know you're going to see an angel. You don't know that the Holy Spirit's going to just drop an anointing on you and then just jerk you by the shirt collar up to third heaven or yeah. see a vision, etc. But still, I'd never had this kind of an encounter before. And like you said, many, many, many over the years.
Yeah.
All kinds of experiences. And you have too, sweetie.
Yeah.
Yes, CK. But I was in our kitchen mm-hmm. when we lived in Klamath Falls.
Yeah.
And I was praying. I don't remember exactly what you were doing, but you were not around that particular area. I think you were praying in the bathroom, in the bedroom.
Yes. In fact, it was just, what's the word for, you know, something that's very interesting. It's significant.
Okay.
Okay. Just for the sake of, I think this is a very significant point, is that while this was happening to you, I was in the bedroom having an encounter with God, an angelic encounter, when the Lord was talking to me about President Obama and all of that stuff, and the gavel dropping in the courtroom of heaven.
Oh, that's right.
It was the exact same time that that was happening to you in the kitchen.
Yes.
Neither one of us knew. The anointing just hit our house, apparently, that day.
That's right.
It was, the date was 10, 11, wait a minute, I'll get it, 10, 11, 12.
Yes, it was.
October 11th, 2012.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Kind of a rabbit trail, but isn't that interesting how that's happened so many times with you and I?
Uh-huh.
We were in the prayer closet at the same time and had encounters that related.
Yes, even though we weren't even in the same room of the house.
Right.
You know that that's been happening here in Las Vegas, too, with Brian, because he's with us right now. But, you know, for years, you know, he had his own place and everything, and the Lord told him to come down here with us when the Lord sent us here. So he's lives with us right now until he gets his own place and so forth. But that has happened just recently. In fact, wasn't it like yesterday that you were having an encounter with God, and at the same time Brian was having vision. He had a vision here, and I was dreaming dreams. I was in the other room all the mm-hmm. same time. The Lord knocked me out, and I was asleep, and I was dreaming. Brian was having a vision, and you were off having an encounter with the Lord.
Yes.
Amazing.
God is so good.
I love it.
Praise God.
I love the Lord. He's so kind to us.
But here I was in our kitchen.
Yeah.
During that occurrence.
Uh-huh.
And praying. I had my Bible open on mm-hmm. the dining room table. I was just reading, sitting there, praying in other tongues, spiritual languages, which, you know, we do a lot of.
Yeah.
And just releasing the mysteries of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And the anointing came on me, and I felt a very strong sense of spiritual warfare. And so I actually stood up, and I began to pace back and forth in the kitchen. And the Holy Spirit then just overcame me in a vision or a catching away, whatever form you want to call it. And I found myself in the second heaven, and I encountered a lot of demonic presences that were coming toward me, kind of rushing me.
Whoa.
And, of course, you know, I'm never afraid of any kind of demon. They can't hurt you. You know, we have power over all of them in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And, you know, we use the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God and all of that.
Yeah.
But I realized that each one of these demonic presences were actually things that were not only coming against us and our family, but against the people who were under our ministry.
Yeah.
And I began to see sicknesses and financial attacks and oppressions, different things that were just plaguing people, what Satan was trying to bring on them. And I began to do spiritual warfare against them, and suddenly I felt this presence behind me, very strong presence. It was an angelic form. Because he was behind me, I couldn't really see him, but I knew that he was there. And the Lord placed a sword in my hand, and I began to attack those demons with that sword.
Now anybody, did you know, you didn't know who was behind you yet, right?
No, I did not.
Okay.
Nope, I just knew the presence was there. I knew it was an angelic being.
Okay.
And so I wanted people to understand that when anybody has a vision like this, that we really concentrate on the revelation of what it is that Jesus is teaching us and showing us.
Right.
You know, it's not that that we literally have a sword in our hand, so to speak, and but still, mm-hmm. the symbolism brings forth a revelation, and the Lord was teaching me some things that day. So I was using that sword, and it so consumed me that I literally was walking around the kitchen, just swinging my arms like I had a sword in them. And I was doing this warfare, fighting those demons. And every time I would lunge at one with the sword, or I would swing the sword to hit another one, I would call out, I rebuke you in sickness or cancer or oppression or condemnation. And I would call it by name, and then I would use the sword on it. And I did this for some time, and it wasn't until the vision was completely over that I realized, you know, all the curtains were open, and who knows what the neighbors thought. I must have looked like a lunatic there just bouncing around the kitchen. But
they already knew to expect a lot of weirdness from us.
Right. But, man, I was caught up in it. I was absorbed in it. It was real.
Yeah.
It was happening, doing spiritual warfare. And it came to the end, and there was victory. And I stopped, and I dropped the sword down by my side.
Uh-huh.
And the presence that was behind me, the angelic being, stepped from behind me and around on my right side and came up and stood beside me, next to me.
Mm-hmm.
With his sword down to his side. And he had been empowering me and helping me do this spiritual warfare. And then there were some things that the Lord taught me about spiritual warfare I won't go into right at this point. But at that moment, I heard a loud booming voice say, "Mike and Michael, an unstoppable team." And at that moment,
oh, wow.
That was the introduction. I didn't know who the angel was. I'd seen many angels prior to that. So I just, you know, I knew it was a war angel. I knew it was somebody. But when he said, "Michael, Mike and Michael, the unstoppable team, the unbeatable team," then it just, I could turn and look and I could see that he was, you know, in this vision, he was taller than me, bigger than me, muscular, dressed in armor, but it was more like you would think of as leather armor.
Mm.
It wasn't metal.
Oh, wow.
And I just it overcame me. I just like was a puddle on the floor.
Wow.
Even you can tell my voice quivering a little bit right now, just sharing the experience. And then the Lord that booming voice again that came forth said, Mike, be the warrior.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you were born a warrior, you've lived as a warrior, but you've never fully embraced. He said, be the warrior. So that was my introduction. I knew that the angel beside me was Michael.
Wow.
Some people say, well, you know, does that mean it was the archangel? I knew instinctively it was, yes. Are there other angels, war angels, that are named Michael? I have absolutely no idea, but I know it was the archangel Michael.
Is he also known as the angel of Israel?
He is. And, of course, Daniel. That's mentioned in the book of Daniel in the 10th chapter, and then a couple of chapters later, the prince of Israel, the angel over Israel. And it's commonly understood and taught by people today. Mostly I'm going to talk about prophets,
mm-hmm.
and those who have similar experiences to what you and I have, and some very prominent ones in the land, that Michael mostly resides in Jerusalem, or, you know, stays in that area. But he does move out and go to different places. And I mean, you know, they're flames of fire.
Yeah.
They're not limited by time or space in any capacity. So as ministering spirits, they can do the will of God at any time.
Wow.
So that was my introduction.
What an honor.
Mm-hmm. It was.
It's very humbling, isn't it? I mean,
it was, and I wondered why me? Why? What was the Lord's plan? What was the purpose? I appreciated that it happened. I appreciated mm-hmm. understanding the strength of spiritual warfare and some of the things he taught me that day. But still, why? I mean, you know, there's over a billion. There's approximately 2 billion people on the planet right now that say that they're Christians.
Oh, yeah.
Whether they're all born again or not. You know, uh-huh. Of all the people, why? What's God doing?
Yeah.
And it wasn't until my second experience that I began to understand.
Oh, tell us about that. I want to hear this.
Well, that particular one was then a year later. You and I went on sabbatical.
Okay.
Yes. And so we drove to Las Vegas because we had a timeshare there. We actually had taken 30 days off. We'd never had a sabbatical before, so, man, we were going to enjoy it. We're going to spend a week in Las Vegas, and then we're going to spend a week down in Southern California, and then we're going to spend a week, we thought, over in Texas, and then maybe Florida.
That was the first sabbatical we've ever taken in the history of our ministry.
That's right.
So we were just going to go and see the country.
That's right. Something big was happening.
Yes, we did. We knew something was up. We knew God was doing something with us, and we wanted to go, like the spies, like Joshua, check it out, seek it out, see where are we going, Lord? Where's the land? What is it? Where are you sending us? Mm-hmm. We were going to go check out Oklahoma. I have never been to Tulsa, Oklahoma yet. In all these years, I mean, I've known people that practically, you know, face Tulsa when they pray. I still haven't been there. I thought we were going to go there.
Yeah, we had big plans.
Oh, we had the plans.
That's right. But you know what happened.
Uh-huh.
We got to Las Vegas, and we ended up staying in our timeshare there for over 6 weeks.
Right.
And the Lord wouldn't let us go. There were different circumstances involved, but there we were on the, was it 21st, 23rd, something like that floor. I don't remember, top floor.
Yeah, 23, yeah.
And just looking out over South Las Vegas and the South Henderson mm-hmm. area.
Yeah.
And praying every day. I'd sit in that front room.
Uh-huh.
And that living room. And just look out that window and pray in tongues for hours. And just pray. We didn't realize we were praying ourselves right here.
Yeah. We were interceding ourselves right into the will of God, right in the place where we were going to end up living.
Uh-huh.
And we had no clue, really,
right.
In the natural.
We now live and we also hold services smack dab right in the middle of that area that I viewed for 6.5 weeks and prayed over. Well, both of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We didn't even know the name of it. We're like, what's that part over there? Because the city lights seem to be a different color than they are over there.
That's right.
We didn't know that was Henderson or whatever this is.
Yeah.
Over in this direction.
Uh-huh. Yes.
It's right on the line between Las Vegas and Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. I'm still learning my way around.
You'll get it.
Yeah, I will.
So, there in that timeshare.
Right.
In the condo. I was praying one day, and praying in the spirit, praying the mysteries.
It was June 13th, 2013.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was having a dream in the other room.
Exactly. I was going to say that.
I didn't know you were having...
We were having encounters. Amazing. And the Holy Spirit, the anointing came on me. Mm-hmm. I felt it intensifying, getting stronger and stronger. And then suddenly, I was just jerked up, went up into the heavenlies.
Wow.
And Michael was there. And he took me up, and he was beside me. It was the exact same angel from before.
Wow.
And I could see in the spiritual atmosphere over the United States this swirling mass of rainbow colors. I realized that from Scripture that rainbow symbolizes covenant, salvation, promises of God, and revival. Yes. Those kinds of things. Colors you'll find in Revelation and also in Ezekiel with Ezekiel's wheel, the vision of the visions where the throne of God, it had this kind of colors. And I'd never really seen it in the spirit before, but it was just swirling over the United States and it was lowering down. And as it lowered, there would be these strongholds that were demonic strongholds that were set up to keep it from coming down and touching America. I knew that it was spiritual awakening and revival. And Michael said as much.
He said that?
To me. Mm-hmm. What caught my attention is that even though Michael was here with me, his angels were out there and they would go against one of the strongholds and begin to tear it down, dismantle it, push the demonic forces away so that the revival could lower more. But every time they did, then another one would come
and another
stronghold would assemble to try to keep it from lowering down to America again.
To keep the revival from touching down
exactly.
to America. Okay.
Yep.
The strongholds kept coming back?
The strongholds kept coming back. And so I turned to Michael, and I said, why doesn't the warfare stop them once and for all? Why do they keep coming back? I mean, you know, you've got the power. This is the power of God.
Yeah.
If the angels wipe those strongholds out, I mean, they've got to obey. What?
Mm-hmm.
And then Michael said something to me that was remarkable. He turned, he looked at me, and he said, because of the mouths of men.
Ooh.
Wow.
Say that again.
Because of the mouths of men.
The mouths of men.
Yes.
Okay.
The mouths of men keep empowering these wicked spirits in the heavenlies. The mouths of both believers and unbelievers.
Oh.
He said, even believers who ought to know better, they curse America by pronouncing judgments that are in direct opposition to God's will for the country.
Oh, wow.
He said they give their mouths to fear, party politics, murmuring, and strife, maliciousness against those in authority.
Wow.
And he said, it's empowering the demonic forces because it creates and it lends all of humanity's power and dominion that has been placed in the authority of man into the spiritual atmosphere. To try to stop God. It's an antichrist occurrence.
Ooh, wow.
Ooh, isn't that amazing?
That's heavy. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but then Michael said to me, He said, we, referring to himself and his angels that were doing the warfare, we need your help. We need believers, prayer warriors, and intercessors to speak words that empower angels to tear down the enemy's strongholds. Angels hearken to the voice of God's word as decreed through the mouths of those believers. Uh-huh. So he was showing me, in the same way that the angels responded to the word, the angels responded to the faith of believers, angels responded to the commands. When we decreed a thing, when we prayed, when we did spiritual warfare, and it actually gave them greater ability then to remove the strongholds.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
It is. That's powerful.
Very powerful. And that's why I think people sometimes get a little upset with us or get tired of hearing us going around and saying, don't curse America.
Right.
They say, well, what do you mean? You know, and then they blah, blah, blah. They've got this about the president or about the government or whatever party. And you know, the nation's turning into a third world country and God's got to judge America and on with all of this. Excuse me, but it's just crap.
Yeah.
Using their mouths to empower demonic forces in the spiritual realm against God's will and plans for America.
Wow.
Oh, man. No. Speak. Create.
Wow.
Using the angelic powers that will respond to that.
Yes. In fact, line up our mouths with God's will.
Yes.
For our country.
Right.
Don't sit in judgment and badmouth the country. Speak what God wants to have happen here.
Right. That's the point. Speak what he wants to occur. Speak the answer, not the problem.
Yeah. Oh, that'll preach.
Yeah. That's where faith lies.
Yes.
Speaking the answer. Speaking the promise. Speaking the end result. It's a creative ability that believers have.
Oh, man. And so many don't even realize it. They don't realize the power that they carry.
That's right.
Right an inch below their nose.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
That's it. And then, I know I can't tell all these stories in complete detail.
So now you're going to go on to, do you have another?
This last thing is that then Michael spoke to me.
Oh, in the same?
In the same, yeah, that second encounter. Same, okay. After I saw the swirling mass, I knew revival was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Our job. He also showed me the United States, and he showed me, I'm at disadvantage, I'm embarrassed, but I don't remember if it was 10 or 12 cities right now. I'll have to look it up in my writing, my notes. But 10 or 12 cities in America where he said that these were major points of intercession, where he was bringing different people, different ministries together in those cities in order to teach the people how to operate in spiritual warfare, intercession, third heaven authority, all of these kind of things to facilitate what Michael was talking about there in bringing revival to America, shifting the heavenlies, changing things.
Yes.
So that God's will would be done. And one of them was Las Vegas. And then Michael turned to me and he said, you've been called to teach third heaven authority. That's another story for another time. That's another encounter.
Okay.
And he said, you can do that from anywhere, but the Lord would rather you did it from here. And oh, and boy, that impacted me. Talking about Las Vegas.
Here being Las Vegas. Wow.
Right there in that room. Praying over South Las Vegas, Henderson.
Wow.
So that's when I knew what the word of the Lord, the instructions, the orders were.
Wow.
And so, of course, I shared the whole thing with you, and we accepted the call. And then we had to go back to Oregon, spend a number of months. We were pastoring a church. We had a house. We had all the things there, getting it all ready. But on October 5th, of that year, we arrived in Las Vegas.
Yes. Actually, that's pretty quick, too.
It was.
We didn't get home till like the 4th of July of that 2013 is when we drove home from, well, we drove back to Oregon because now Las Vegas is home. We drove to Oregon and it took from July until the end of September. And by August 5th, we had that U-Haul packed, that truck, and we were on our way.
And here we are.
Here we are.
And we love it, don't we?
Oh, man. I wouldn't be anywhere else in the world. I love it here.
That's it.
I love it more all the time.
Yeah, we love the city and we love the people.
Yes.
It's always good being in the will of the Lord.
That's a biggie.
That yes.
I love being in the will of God. That's that's major.
Yes.
People are miserable when they're not. So
wow.
This is what an adventure. A lot of people thought we had lost our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank God we lost our own minds and put on the mind of Christ. How about that?
Amen. That's good. Wow. So then.
Do we have time? Do you keep going?
You know, yeah, I'm going to tell you two more, but okay. I'm going to make these a little bit shorter.
Okay.
Just quick.
People are so interested.
Yeah.
Bring it.
But I think it just kind of pulls together the situation about Michael. Michael is not only the angel of Israel, but also he's the angel of spiritual Israel, the body of Christ.
Oh,
yeah. He's a protector of all, not just natural Israel, but spiritual Israel. And that's important for people to understand.
So, and they need to understand that for those that don't realize that.
Right.
When they're, but you go ahead and explain.
Yeah, so he definitely is the angel in charge of all of the war effort.
But they need to understand that when they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they become...
Thank you. Yes, for that clarification.
Spiritual Israel.
Yes, the body of
Christ.
When
grafted
they get saved,
in.
They're part of the body of Christ.
We're grafted in. Is that what that's talking about in Galatians? Or
yes. Yes, it is.
Okay.
And so...
So he's our angel, too.
So he's our angel, too. Exactly.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to clarify there.
Wow. Well, another encounter that I had was in November of 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Las Vegas. I was praying one day, and Michael appeared and took me up into the heavens again, into the heavenlies, talking about in the spiritual atmosphere around the earth.
Okay.
And as we were going up, it was through a thick blanket of fog that just surrounded the earth. And we made it through the fog and then broke out on top into bright sunshine. And at that point, he started talking to me about the condition of America. And he said that the fog was actually the spirit of this world and the spirit of Antichrist. And he said it's a spirit of Antichrist's will for America to keep them in fog, in isolation, to control the minds and the hearts of humanity. It's that thing that the Apostle Paul called it, this present evil age.
Yeah.
In Scripture, it's the entire mass of thought that is not enlightened by the Holy Spirit's revelation and stuff. It's humanity groping, trying to find their way in the world without spiritual revelation from God.
Yeah.
And so he said that that fog was secularism, hedonism, false religions, witchcraft, deceiving spirits, hopelessness, cares of this world. And he said these things dull the spiritual vision of the souls of people, and they induce spiritual fatigue and sleeplessness on the people. And that's what's setting the nation adrift. And so...
Now, did you say sleeplessness or sleepiness?
Oh, I meant to say sleepiness.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that.
Hey, you're a good clarifier.
Well,
you're picking
up
all these little things for me today.
I wasn't sure which you said. So.
Yes, sleepiness, mental fatigue.
Okay.
Just and talking about spiritual things. And so he just began teaching me about how to pray against those things.
Okay.
And he made a statement. He said that the Holy Spirit is the wind that blows the fog away. So he was talking about revival. He's talking about the move of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit breathing on humanity, breathing uh-huh. revelation, spiritual enlightenment. And he said the Holy Spirit, the wind, removes the fog, but he said it takes third heaven authority and the Word of God to destroy the fog machine.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
Oh, wow.
I know there's about 3 more hours just right there that we'd have to talk.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah.
We don't have time. Another one.
Yeah. Okay.
But again, here's the point.
Okay.
The first encounter, introduction to mm-hmm. Michael, the war angel, do spiritual warfare. Second encounter, move to Las Vegas, teach people third heaven authority, reveal and tell people that revival is coming to America.
Yes.
Not destruction. Revival is coming to America. And how to do that? By empowering the angels rather than the demonic forces, by the creative ability of our mouths and our prayers. Build an intercession team. The third one, he's talking about that revival pushing away the fog, clearing the fog from people's lives and from their minds, and doing it by the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit. See, when you were talking earlier in this podcast, you were talking about being drunk in the Spirit and so forth. All mm-hmm. of those encounters, the power of the Spirit of God is what blows all of that stuff away, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then third heaven authority and the Word of God and intercession and prayer destroys the fog machine.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, that's good.
That's cool.
So people need to know that there's such a sense of powerlessness going on among the body of Christ. People feel like there's nothing they can do to change things when they don't realize that God has given us this kind of power to literally change the face of the planet, to change the eternal destination of untold thousands, millions of souls. If we would believe it and step up and just take our position, walk in authority, pray, believe God, believe that our best days are still ahead, and stop looking at circumstances and pronouncing judgment.
That's it. Well said.
Wow.
And also in wrapping it up.
Oh, I want to hear, don't you have another one?
I do. But okay. I'll make it very short because I know we're really low on time.
Oh, hey.
I don't care.
Okay, go ahead.
I wanted to say this. The fourth time that Michael appeared to me was just about a month ago.
Oh, wow. Really?
And
2015.
And see, that's not me. That's just four times.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But when he appeared, it was similar to the very first one in the sense I was doing spiritual warfare, and he came, and it was the same type, very similar type of spiritual warfare for America, for Israel. There's a bond, there's a connection there in the spirit that he's always had me pray for. He never lets me get away with not praying for Israel when it comes to revival for America.
Yeah.
There's a connection. But this time, he stayed behind me. And it was interesting because I noticed in this one, remember the first one, he was behind me, but he was empowering me. He came up beside me. He was teaching me. He was working with me in that way.
The second one. Teaching you how to be the warrior.
To be the warrior.
Uh-huh.
The second one was a revelation about moving here, about revival coming to America. He was still teaching. He was interacting with me that way. The third one then, the fog.
Mm-hmm.
All of it still interacting. This time was different. It's like he said, you've been taught. I'm not leading the way anymore. I'm following your command.
Oh, wow.
And he stayed behind me, and he worked with me in this vision in doing the spiritual warfare. And then he left when it was over.
Oh, wow. So did he talk to you or anything this time? Or
he
just simply responded to what you were doing?
Yes. And the only reason that he came is because it was a specific form of prayer.
What?
For Israel and America and for revival. And also, there was a lot of prayer. He helped me with some warfare, you know, with things that were going on in people's lives.
In our own lives, personally
as
well.
Our own personal life, our own ministry.
Was that
and people that, you know, are under our spiritual leadership.
Was that also around the time of the terrorist attack in Paris?
Oh, it certainly was.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. So, connections there.
Uh-huh.
But the interesting thing at that point is that he was willing to follow my lead because he trusted me.
Wow, that's powerful. That in itself is really humbling, too. And scriptural.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because we don't, you know, we don't worship angels.
No.
No, we don't pray to angels. I talked with Michael.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that's scriptural. In the Bible they did.
Oh, yeah.
He, as well as all the other angels, are ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for those who shall be the heirs of salvation. So he's the servant, as strong and powerful as he is.
Wow.
That change was noticeable to me, and humbling, like you said.
Wow. So be the warrior, huh?
Be the warrior.
You are the warrior. Wow. God is so good.
He is good. Thank you for letting me share those encounters.
Thank you for sharing them. Man, I've got to have you come back and share some more because, gosh, that's really good. And I even got to hear some of them, but not in as much detail as some of the things you brought out today. I really hope, I pray that people catch this and that it stirs their hearts.
Yes. And I one of the things I hope is that people would begin to understand that how much angelic activity is really going on that they're not even aware of.
Yes.
And that it's time for us to learn about angels. Most spirit-filled believers have been taught about the origin and operation of demons.
Mm-hmm.
And they can name personalities of demons. They can talk about how to rebuke them. They can do all this kind of stuff. But most of them have never been taught about angels.
Yeah.
Why is it okay in the church to teach about demons but not about angels? Because somehow that's taking something away from Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Or, you know, the fear that's involved in that is just ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. We need to understand, and we need to let the angels do their job.
That's true. Absolutely. The angelic activity. Boy, that's good. Thank you, Mike. There's so much angelic activity going on, and it's just ramping up all the time. And people, like you said, we've been taught about demonic activity, and so therefore people are aware of it.
Correct.
And when we start being taught about angelic activity, once I started finding out about it, I have been very aware of lots of angelic activity around me that I didn't realize. It probably was going on all along, but now I am noticing it. Once you start talking about it, paying attention to it, you start noticing it. And man, talk about changing your whole world view. I mean, your whole view of life and our calling and everything else. It's encouraging. There's like so many more of them than there are of demons, for
mm-hmm.
sure.
That's true.
And the devil loves to keep God's people, you know, busy rebuking devils instead of interacting with angels, because, you know, then his goose is cooked. It was not a very Merry Christmas for him.
Amen. And, thank you, CK.
Yeah, thank you for being here, Mike. God bless you.
Okay, and we'll just go ahead and leave it there today. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we're just about out of time, so thanks again.
Thanks for listening, and God bless you. Have a wonderful week, and peace out.
Bye-bye.
And thank you for listening to the show. You can reach C.K. Thompson or Brian David at prophetsdwp@gmail.com. Or check out their website, www.wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Thank you very much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
The show you've just heard is part of the Streams of Many Waters podcast network.